Hello, patrons. We are here for Roleplay Blades post-show, episode 10. Man, that was a doozy. we've had a lot of great RP moments on this show, and you know, I'm not trying to compare. It's not a contest, but
It's fine. Let it out, John.
That was really good, and I know chat was freaking out about it. And I think the obvious post-show discussion to touch on here is how that happened, maybe, if we want to like go behind the scenes a little bit and talk about, sure, you know, where it came from, how you guys did it, and et cetera.
I think it definitely bears, or definitely deserves, a little bit of an explanation as far as, because I saw a lot of people in chat going like, was that scripted? What the hell? And to let you guys know, whoever's watching this, it definitely was not scripted. However, I did discuss things with John. I said, what if the book was this, and what if Aldo discovers it? And then once I said that, I said, I'm leaving it up to you guys to tell me. So Aldo is genuinely surprised at what happened, who did it, all this kind of stuff. I didn't know any of that going into tonight. I had no idea. I just had my idea for the book was that she was in there somehow, some way, that I could possibly communicate with her. And I talked to Anne beforehand, because that's a lot to put on a person to say, like, hey, can you just RP somebody completely else?
Like, yeah.
Next time. So I wanted that much to be kind of known. And I gave Anne backstory as far as who Belle was, what, like, a couple of things that, like, the she taught me to read and write. I told Anne that. I told Anne that she's the glasses that I wear, she stole them for me so I could actually read and write, and that kind of thing. But as far as what lines, what words we spoke to each other, none of that. All that was organic.
Yeah. And, well, because, you know, so he asked me, you know, this is my kind of idea of what I want to do, and I talked about it with John, and I told him kind of a bit more about it, because I was like trying to get the specifics of, like, you know, what do we need to do, and who, you know, who can be involved, and what is it, you know, which crews make sense in the scope of this universe and stuff. So I had written down a lot of stuff. So while it wasn't necessarily scripted, I did have like a lot of bullet points of like this, like talk about this, throw this like hint in there, so that in the future we have like things moving forward that we can act on, you know, like little bits of information that she gave us. But I came out of the gate pretty hard, because I was like, I'm gonna give him a nickname, because he said that he has a nickname for Belle. So the first thing I was just like, is that you? I know, I was like, is that you, Ollie? And he was just like, oh shit. And I was like, yes, okay, this is working, let's do it.
Yeah, I had no idea that,
because he didn't know what was going on.
Guys,
yeah.
Can I just interrupt for just a moment, because I think this speaks to how well you played the scene. I was convinced that, like, what you were saying, Anne, was provided to you, like, almost 100%.
No.
So, great job.
Thanks.
I think that's amazing.
Yeah, that was fucking sick. When you were like, Ollie, and I went, oh, she has a nickname. Really, like, I almost, like, started, like, tearing up right then. I was like, oh, my God, she has a nickname for me.
The look on your face is so good. You guys pushed past the surface of that, like, you made it as personable. It was very it was obviously a more powerful version of this, but I mean, you guys got to slow it down, because even the week before we're having an intimate murder scene with a loving husband blue coat, and I'm like, for fuck's sakes, you guys, can I just, like,
yeah,
you're making me feel. It was awesome.
It was awesome. Role playing isn't usually the most like performative thing. Even like super good role playing can be, you know, it's not an acting challenge typically.
Well, a lot of times you're playing ridiculous characters. You're playing like a barbarian with a battle axe, but in this, yeah, it's, your world is more real people, I feel. I mean, yeah, realer people.
Right.
Yeah, people are kind of real. And also, like, Anne's, the way that she started it out, because I didn't know what she was going to say either. And the tone, too, like, I don't know what my expectations were necessarily, but it was so breezy and calm and nice. She wasn't haunted and weird, you know. She was like, she was just Belle. She was like,
it was frustratingly like, believable. Like I felt like I was listening to a brother and sister talking through a, you know, another person's body.
Yeah.
But they're seeing some shit right now.
And she's saying these horrible things in a way, but she's not like, oh my God. It was,
which makes it worse.
I love that choice. That was just such a good choice to make it
awesome.
Kind of nice.
And then when you gave the teacher a name.
Oh yeah, Mr. Claremont Classes.
Fucking awesome. I was like, she's stolen from a teacher, blah 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 blah. And you gave the teacher a name and I went, oh fuck, that's awesome, dude. Like there were so many moments where I was like, I had to struggle not to like break in the middle and just like cheer for you, you know?
Yeah.
That was like the first time that I really like planned out a scene and like wanted to like, cause there's a lot of stuff that I'm excited that will be revealed to the audience as like further episodes go on, you know, or like little details that I tried to like hint at. So I'm excited to, you know, play future scenes of that. But also, you know, I wanted Belle to just be this like matter of fact, like this happened and I'm telling you what happened. And, John said, you know, he told me like, you know, she's, her spirit can go down a dark road and become not Belle anymore. So I wanted to leave room for that to be a possibility of a thing. Like, you know, if she's going to continue, you know, like if Aldo is like, we're not going to destroy her spirit. And then, you know, so I wanted to leave there. I wanted to leave room for the RP to expand from her being this like happy person, just like matter of fact, into something else.
Emotional range is way further that way. That's a really, really smart idea.
And it fucked me up. That fucked me up. And I, when you're like, we were going to have to destroy her, and I was like, you fucking take that back.
I know.
That was all over your face. It was
there
because you'd taken your glasses off and you had this kind of like tearful eyed look that was really compelling, even though you weren't, you know, emoting or saying anything. And then when she said that, I was watching you really closely to see your reaction. And there was a little something behind your eyes that was like, oh no.
Yeah.
But what you said was, we'll cross that bridge when we come
to it. You're going to be the governor from Walking Dead, dude.
Was right there. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You have to let it go.
Yeah, man. It's so subtle, but I think it plays to this environment too, like playing on stream, playing with, you know, these cameras and stuff. We're sitting around the table together. Those kind of moments happen in tabletop sometimes, but it, in a sense, they're sort of lost. They're not lost for the people playing, but these performative moments, to have them actually captured and have an audience for it and have them preserved, you know, it's great. I can't even count the thousands and thousands of hours of great performances that have happened in gaming that have been a part of that are, no one will ever see them. and these are preserved forever. It's really cool to have that.
Yeah.
Well, and I gotta say, like, tonight I wasn't heavily featured tonight. Like for the first 3 hours I was doing nothing. But it speaks to, you know, how much fun we're having and how involved we are with our characters, that I was engrossed like during, I mean, the I was just sitting there, like I was obviously like doing and looking at other things, but my ears were just totally attentive to everything that was going on. The scene with Miss Cadaby, oh my God, that was fucking fantastic.
Yeah. Dude, that was really like really well done. The like social maneuvering, I was really surprised by that.
Oh, that yeah, awesome. just the gift of gab coming through, just like, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when he was like, he turned it one way and then turned it back the other, I was just like, whoa, wait, what? Like, I felt like lost in that for a second. It was great.
It was an interesting night. That was certainly fun, but I was pretty certain. So, because this is definitely like a behind the scenes, like, what were you thinking? I was convinced that these folks were to obtain us and not to kill us, which is why I gambled the way I did. Only then, I'm sure there's a moment in the VOD where, like, I realize, like, oh, fuck, that's not John's intention. Actually, he is killing. Yes, exactly. This is not just a great, yeah.
John's like, the character's over, he's stabbing at you right now, and you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I think, like, it's kind of interesting because, first off, it's great that, like, we have a platform to be able to say, like, yeah, that's actually what I was thinking. Like, I was pretty convinced. In my mind, I was like, John is, like, attempting to apprehend us, and that is going to take us into the next thing. Literally, when he's like, yeah, you're fucking getting stabbed in the gut, I was like, oh, man, I made some really horrible decisions. But, like, as players, I guarantee you that a lot of times we are thinking in that regard, like, you know, what possible scenarios could be laid out here. You know, I feel like playing under Adam a lot has definitely, like, conditioned me to be in that way, because the guy will take away your weapons and then send you to a dinner party where you're gonna fucking die. Like, that's just how it. So I mean, I'm traumatized by, like, some of those moments to the point where, you know, I want to play it safe, but there's a part of the game that's like, okay, I'm, like, sort of reading the GM and what I think he might present here, because my actions, my decisions will ultimately also affect this story. So I mean, to like, kind of what Jeff says is, like, I like to play out the story and then let the dice do it. And in some regards, I like to play sort of against the story to see where I think it might go, and dice will make that worse. So but I love that aspect of it. And I did have fun tonight, despite the fact that I seriously thought, like, oh God, I better start thinking about what might happen here. Or so anyway, I'm excited to explore what happens now.
Yeah, it was an interesting turn. If you hadn't gotten traumaed out, trauma is sort of a escape clause in the game, in a way. You know, it's
right.
bad in a sense, but it's a way of, it's your special PC ability in a sense. If your stress had been lower and you weren't in the trauma range, you would have been stuck in that fight with more harm coming and more, who knows what would have happened.
Which earlier, if you recall, I actually did have a push on the Devil's Bargain.
Oh, that's right.
And if I wouldn't have done that, I would have possibly been in a lot of trouble.
Yeah. Yeah, he wasn't going to stop. So it's that was interesting turn of events there. And the same thing we said before, like, in terms of RP stuff, I didn't know when you went to talk to Salia, I didn't know where that conversation was going. I didn't know how much you really did consider her your friend, if you were there just to get information out of her that you could use somehow later, or what. Like, it was all discovered in the moment, and that's, like, the point of playing the game, right?
I'm not gonna lie, like, rolling dice is awesome, but that is why I play. You know, what we experienced tonight with Zeke and Anne, some of my favorite moments from Swan Song include Sakarian and his wife, and some of the initial conversations between Pi and Piani. Like, yeah. I kind of really love that. It is, like, proof that you can take these imaginary, fictitious characters and you could care about them and you could care about the things they do. And, you know, that is, to me, that's where my love of the game truly is, for sure.
Well, and to speak to that point, I think you can, especially in this episode, you could take a good lesson from Jeff and Carolus, in that roll the dice and then we see what happens. It's not like pass fail. It's roll the dice, then we'll deal with it, and we'll fucking role play it how it comes out. And I love that attitude. I think every role player should have that attitude. It's not pass fail. It's what's next.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. How you interpret the, is it a mixed outcome? Is it a failure? Is it a success, a crit? Mm-hmm. Kind of seeing that and then letting that drive your narration that's a cool technique. Yeah.
This stuff enriches everything. Like Anne was saying, you know, the scene where potentially the ghost turns and becomes less of what we just saw, it's, you know, less personable, the emotional magnitude that's potentially there is tremendous. the drive of Aldo wanting to avenge this all-important loss and the way it went down and how cruel it was, but also not super unoriginal. Like, obviously, that kind of stuff's been done before, but the way it was all played out was really brilliant, really smart. I'm just, like, I am excited to see that unfold. That, for me, that's a huge part of what makes this so fun, is that, like, I have my ideas of what stories are going on, but they're bouncing around between all of your guys' image, John's world, and the dice, which add this random factor and add, like, improv, as Zeke was saying earlier, and that's so exciting and fun for me. Like, I don't go into any of these episodes and go, like, here's what's going to happen. I have no fucking clue.
Yeah,
and it's so exciting to play it that way, and to have an outlet to do that. It's just awesome.
It's cool, too, that you guys are so cool with, and I think Chad is getting used to this, that you're cool with this idea that you're not a sort of pod person where the four of you just travel around together doing things.
Yeah.
Which gaming sometimes can be. It can be this sort of like just four heads on a body just like going around solving problems. And this spotlight moves around. We have one-on-one scenes, all this kind of stuff. And it's a different way of gaming, but the fact that you, just what you were saying, Jeff, like, you're switching from author to audience, and being an audience member is fun. Yeah. Obviously, you don't want it to happen too much where you're just kind of like sitting there. But it's nice to have the flexibility and the trust in the group to let that happen and not have it be this team going room to room doing things, you know?
Well, this is one of my favorite mediums for storytelling, to be honest with you, because like there definitely have been times where I think groups get into the idea of like, it's us against game master, and we're gaming right now. I do not come into this thinking I'm gaming. I don't have any. There obviously is aspects of that, but I'm more looking at like this is a crew. They have ideas, and I obviously very much so like my character, and I like the intrigue that surrounds that. But I love the emotional depth that everyone else is showing. I would even say Miss Cadaby almost takes the MVP in terms of like an arc of a character too. Like, we've had some emotional depth with Zeke and Anne, but we've had played out interesting turn of character as well with Marcus that we haven't really had with anybody else, and that too is really fun. And like he said tonight, there's a reason for that, and that's been kind of interesting too, because like most shows, we're on episode 10, like two people have kind of come to grips with their supposed one of their main story arcs. Like, not even anywhere close to being done, and I was kind of worried that would be like the emotional come down, but it hasn't been. It's been an escalation, if anything. So really cool.
Well, and when you say escalation, you know what I'm looking forward to? I'm looking forward to the tipping point of Careless.
Yeah.
Because it's like cool assassin, cool guy, cool awesome, like fucking badass, like just gets more and more badass. I'm waiting for that peak to come.
I know.
Yeah.
Humanity. Yeah.
The guys, like, are going to shit on me eventually. I know it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I keep ripping off the band-aid too. I'm like, yeah, jump in the boat. Double six. I'm like, all right, cool. There's going to come time. Double fucking ones. And I threw the boat into the water. And I'm like, oh.
It just feels like waiting for a pot to boil over. Like, you know it's going to happen.
Oh, yeah. I'm waiting for him to, like, be wounded and need someone's fucking help. Because I'll be there with a big
fist. Never. Yeah. Never. Triple sixes for life.
Yeah, no shit.
There's like we set out, and especially with in my mind's eye, it was like we're an assassin team. My character is my character, obviously, but like it's developed very, not quite friendly per se, but it's like everyone's fiercely loyal to each other, and it's every single. I said this a couple episodes ago, but like every single time, it's been like, "Well, do we help them out?" We're all like, "Fuck yeah, obviously." I mean, what else? Yeah, of course. Mm-hmm. Every single time. I think that's not quite unexpected, but I like the way it's been played out. It's like it's getting explained as we go, but it's really interesting. I think
I like that it feels like a choice, not a default. It's not like, well, obviously we do that because we're all the PCs. Like, it really feels like an intentional decision. And it could have gone another way. And that gives it a more weight, you know, that you actually did decide to be loyal and to help each other, not just because we're the stars of the show, you know, like
the characters are all set up that way, like to a person, you know, like Aldo seems like this at first glance, like a gruff, you know, the muscle. So, of course, he's going to either, you know, not understand something or something. But of course, that's completely the opposite. Anne's character is like, at least again from the beginning, kind of aloof and almost nihilistic and uncaring. That is obviously shown not to be true. And then Miss Cadaby, like we were saying, if of all our characters who you'd think would be like, yeah, fuck off, I got money, like it would have been that person, but it just didn't play out that way at all. And I think mm-hmm. that's, to your point, that's what's been interesting, is because there's been the expectation that there's going to be some kind of like, yeah, yeah, I choose to do this. But no, every time. It's cool.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think that's our time. Thanks for hanging out and going behind the scenes a little bit here. I was excited for this session. I'm always excited to play this, but I knew what you guys had planned, and I didn't know what was going to happen in the scenes. Mm-hmm. It was like watching the TV show, and there was the TV last week where we saw like Anne holding the book or something, and I was like, oh man, what's going to happen? It was great to have such a great payoff for it. So
yeah. I liked being able to surprise you guys with that. That was fun.
That was awesome.
Really, really good. And thanks, patrons. Thanks for supporting the show and letting us do these post shows. As always, we really enjoy them. Thanks to JP for producing everything, and to you guys for playing. And we will see you in the next one. Adios.
Bye.